We are super excited because today's episode is sponsored by BarkBox.
As most of you guys know, my dog Mackie loves his chew toys, but they do not last very long in our house. And that's why we love our subscription service, BarkBox.
BarkBox is a monthly subscription box that offers an array of themed boxes for your pup. Inside your box, you'll find toys, treats, and unleash joy, thoughtfully designed to satisfy every dog's unique playstyle.
BarkBox has several boxes to choose from, depending on your dog's needs, such as the Super Chewer box, which was designed to challenge and engage your pup for longer-lasting play. And that's what we need for Mackie.
Right now, you can get a free extra month of BarkBox, which is up to a $35 value, by using our link www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod.
So treat your dog to what they love with BarkBox. www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod for a extra free month of BarkBox. What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. All right, so I think we're just going to dive right into this case today, because I don't really think there are too many big updates. At least there's not when we're recording, because once again, we have our shit together and we're recording early.
Yes.
Or earlier than normal.
Right. The day before.
Yeah, not the day before at like 5 p.m., like 12 hours before the episode is going to go live.
Right.
So that's what we normally do. But we have our shit together
it's
today.
It's fine. There's no rules to podcasting.
True. And we still get the episodes out, so that's all that matters.
That's right.
But today is, if you listen to Monday's episode, I mentioned that this story has a happy ending, and yay. I'm so excited to be sharing, I guess, a lighter story. It is very horrific, and just a trigger warning, we will be discussing sexual assault and some pretty horrific injuries, so just note that from the beginning, but it does have a happy ending.
Okay. Is this a case suggestion or is this...
Yeah, so I actually, this morning, was looking for a case to start researching.
Okay.
I was doing that.
I saw your message and I was like, did she end up doing it? I didn't read what the case was, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, so, that's your message.
as I was starting to look for a case, I saw a message come in on Instagram that I just happened to see, and this one of our listeners shared about an incredible survival story, and I looked it up and I decided to share it. So shout out to Haley D for suggesting this case. I had never heard it, and it was I can't believe I've never heard this, but it's amazing. So this is the miraculous story of Allison Botha.
Oh, I don't think I know this one either.
Yeah, I had never heard it before.
Is it recent? Or is it
No, it's not recent.
Okay.
And it's actually from South Africa.
Oh, okay.
You'll see she, like, now goes all over the world. So
amazing.
I can't believe I hadn't heard it, but it's incredible. And it reminds me a lot of Mary Vincent, which if you haven't heard that episode, we covered it in episode... I want to say 14, maybe one of
it
our
was like
earlier
the
episodes.
Yeah, it was like the second episode after we started doing the case by case.
Yeah,
episodes. So yeah. I'm not sure either.
That was a really good one. If you haven't listened to that one, Andrea covered Mary Vincent, another miraculous survival story. So it kind of made me think of that, but it's a different case, and it's just amazing. So thank you again, Haley D, for sending this. And also, just as a reminder, in general, if you have case suggestions, please, if you DM us on Instagram, that's fine, but also please submit them through our website. Usually when people DM us a suggestion, I ask them to submit it because it's easier for us to keep track of. So
yeah, they're kind of hard to keep track of on Instagram because we get a lot of messages. So
yeah, but we do still look at the messages. I usually just then tell people to like submit it. So
yeah.
But this one I didn't have to tell her because I decided to cover it this day.
Yeah.
So. And also, I just want to give credit to this awesome documentary that I watched on Amazon Prime. It's called Allison, and they actually interviewed like some of the people who were involved in the case and doctors and stuff. So it was like,
oh,
it's really interesting. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. So highly recommend watching that.
Okay.
All right, so Allison Botho was born on September 22nd, 1967, which is actually my sister's birthday, not the year, obviously, but
obviously.
The day.
Yeah.
She grew up in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and after her parents divorced when she was 10, Allison mostly lived with her mother and brother.
Okay.
Allison served as head girl at the Collegiate High School for Girls in Port Elizabeth, but she recalls when she was in school, she didn't really have a specific, like, goal of what she wanted to do when she grew up. So after she finished school, she actually spent 4 years traveling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So after her travels, she returned back to Port Elizabeth and she started a job as an insurance broker. And she remembers her mother just being so relieved when she came back home because, you know, she was back home, safe, not traveling anymore.
Yeah.
December 18th, 1994 was a warm summer day because this is in the
South Africa
other hemisphere.
Yeah.
So opposite seasons.
That's so weird and so neat all at the same time.
I know. It's so crazy to me. I follow a bunch of people on Instagram that live in Australia, and they're like posting that it's like summertime right now, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. So Allison had spent this day at the beach with her friends, and in the evening, the group returned back to Allison's apartment to eat pizza and play games. After most of the group went home, Allison offered a ride to her last friend. You know, she said, I can take you home. So she took her home and then returned back to her apartment where she parked. And she actually had to park a bit farther down the street than normal because the normal spot she parked in was taken, but she parked, you know, not far from her apartment. Mm-hmm. And after she parked, she was going to grab a bag of clean laundry sitting in her passenger seat to bring inside. So she was still in the car and she just was like reaching over to grab it. But right then, she felt a gust of warm air as a man that she didn't know opened the driver's side door.
Oh my gosh.
So this man held a knife to her throat and told her, move over or I'll kill you. And Allison was terrified, so she did what she was told.
Okay.
The man identified himself as Clinton, and he told Allison that he didn't want to hurt her, he just needed to use her car for an hour. So he sped away from the apartment, going towards another part of Port Elizabeth, and he was, like, speaking with Allison, asking if she had a boyfriend, and talking to her, and she said that did give her kind of a false sense of comfort. But eventually, Clinton, who she later found out, his real name is Franz Dutoit. I believe that's how you say it.
Okay. Franz, probably. Franz.
Franz Dutoit. So he was the one driving, quote-unquote, Clinton, and he eventually picked up his friend, Tien's Kruger. I'm trying to say it how they said it in the documentary. It's spelled Kruger, like K-R-U-G-E-R, but in the documentary, the person said it like Kruger or something like that.
Kruger, yeah.
Kruger. Okay. I don't have that type of accent.
We're American. So, yeah, sorry.
So I'm going to call him Tien's, but...
okay.
That also, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. That's how they said it in the documentary, but it's spelled T-H-E-U-N-S. So I'm doing my best here. So Franz and Tien's took Allison to a very secluded area just outside of the city, and they got out of the car and told Allison that they were going to have sex with her. They then asked her if she would fight them, and, you know, as they did this...
Oh, like...
Yeah, like, are you...
Not asking her to?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay. I was like, that's so nasty and
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, no, just saying, like, are you gonna fight? And she was trying to protect herself, so she said no. So these men actually had a history of violence against women, and they ended up assaulting and raping Allison. And Allison actually remembered that Franz raped her and then asked Tien's if, quote, he'd like to have sex with the lovely lady. And Allison remembers Tien's responding, no, I want to F that bitch. But
wow.
The actual word.
Yeah.
And apparently Franz got, like, angry that that's how the other guy had treated her.
Oh, because he wasn't respecting her or something? Exactly. Whatever.
And that just upset Allison even more.
That's so disgusting.
So after the assault, the men became determined to kill her. So they first tried to suffocate her, and she did end up losing consciousness for a minute, but she stayed alive.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah. The men then stabbed her about 30 times in the abdomen. And apparently, Franz Dutoy, he was specifically aiming to mutilate her reproductive organs.
What the hell? That is so... Yeah. So, like, if she did survive... Okay, great.
Yeah. So, after stabbing her, the men noticed that her leg was still twitching, and so they decided they were going to slit her throat.
Oh, my God.
And she remembers that Tiens was the first one to cut her neck, and they kept going, and they ended up slitting her throat 16 times.
What? With what? What were they using that they needed to do it that many times? Oh my God.
It wasn't even that they needed to. They just did.
That is terrible. Oh my God.
Allison later recalled, quote, "All I could see was an arm moving above my face, left and right, left and right. His movements were making a sound, a wet sound. It was the sound of my flesh being slashed open. He was cutting my throat with a knife again and again and again."
Yeah, because she was in shock, so she probably didn't even feel anything at that point.
Exactly. That she is didn't. Horrific. She definitely didn't know the extent of her injuries.
That is horrific. Like, absolutely horrific.
Yeah. So, after this, the men finally believed that Allison was dead, but she was still alive.
Thank
and
God.
And she heard them speaking Afrikaans, admiring their work. She remembers one of the men saying, "Do you think she's dead?" To which the other one responded, "No one can survive that." And the men then drove away in Allison's car.
Well, haha, motherfucker, because she did.
Mm-hmm. So the men left Allison lying on top of sand and broken glass on the brink of death in this secluded area outside of the city. And Allison thought to herself, "I have to at least leave a clue about who did this to me." So she was determined to make sure that these men would never do this to anyone else. And wow. She managed to write their names in the sand.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And then beneath the names, she wrote, "I love Mom."
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she was laying there, did not think she was going to survive, but she saw some headlights streaking through the bushes. And they were in the distance, but she thought, if I can manage to get out to the road, someone might be able to help me. So Allison began to move toward the road, but that's when she really realized the extent of her injuries. Her head started to fall backwards because she had been nearly decapitated.
Oh my God.
She also, and just warning here, this is a little graphic. She felt something slimy protruding from her abdomen. And it was her intestines.
I was going to say, it was probably her intestines. She got stabbed in the abdomen 30 times. Or over 30 yeah. times.
Yeah.
Oh, this is stressing me out.
I know.
Oh my
God. She literally used one of her hands to grab her denim shirt and, like, used that to keep her organs in her body. And she used the other hand to begin to crawl.
That is miraculous. And I see now why you said it reminds you of Mary Vincent.
Right?
Like, survival mode. What can I do to survive?
Yeah, exactly. And she said that during this, she was just thinking of her mom, thinking that, first of all, she was thinking, if I die here, at least my mom would know that I had tried to get away and survive. But then she kind of realized that she didn't want her mom to go through that. She didn't want her mom to suffer. So she was like, yeah. I have to get out to that road.
Wow.
So she managed to stand up and begin walking, and she said she put her free hand up to her throat, and that's when she felt the full extent of the neck injury, and the men had literally completely severed the muscle of her neck, and her head was, like, falling back between her shoulder blades.
Oh my God.
So she used her hand, the free hand that wasn't holding her organs inside to pull her head up so she could see where she was going, and she slowly but surely moved forward.
Wow.
She later said that it felt like somebody else had taken her feet and was moving them for her. She recalled, quote, "As I struggled forward, my sight faded in and out, and I fell many times, but managed to get up again until I finally reached the road."
Could you imagine falling, like, in that state?
I know. And then getting back up? No.
That is, wow. She is really strong.
Yeah. So when she hit the road, she just collapsed in the middle of it. And she was like, "I'm in the middle of the road. The worst that will happen is a car will hit me, but this is the best position to possibly attract the attention of a passerby." So she heard one car approaching, and her first thought was, what if the attackers are in the car? And the car did slow down and stop, but then it sped off. So maybe it was them, or maybe it was just someone else that was freaked out.
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, another car soon began approaching, and a young man named Tion Allred, Tion, he was a veterinary student from Johannesburg who was visiting Port Elizabeth on vacation at the time, and he was driving by and saw this woman lying in a pool of blood in the middle of the road. So he stopped the car and got out, and he grabbed her hand. He recalls, like, looking into her eyes and seeing the fear in her eyes, but he was so determined to help her. Allison said about this, quote, "He was trying so hard to keep me alive, and typical me, I didn't want to give up for his sake."
Aww.
Yeah. So he used his veterinary training to basically, like, tuck her exposed organs back inside her body. And a friend that was with him, thankfully, had a cell phone, which was pretty rare for that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's 94. Like, it wasn't super common, but thank God they did. They called emergency services, and Tion remembers that it took quite a while for the paramedics to arrive, but they finally got there, and Allison was taken to the hospital with Tion by her side.
Wow.
So he remembers that during that ambulance ride, it kind of seemed like they were not in a rush. Like, they had already decided that she wasn't going to make it, but he was determined that she would make it. So when Allison arrived at the hospital, she was on the brink of death, and Tion finally had to let go of her hand. He had been holding her hand this entire time, and he finally had to let go as she was rushed into the room with the doctors to figure out what had happened. One doctor, a man named Alexander Angelov, said that he had never seen such severe injuries in his 16 years of practicing medicine.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. Dr. David Common, the anesthetist. Dr. David Common was the one that presided over Allison's emergency operations. And he said that the sheer brutality and the mindless destruction of a human being that he saw that night really affected him.
Yeah.
So, like, not just the injuries, but just seeing that, like, somebody did this.
Yeah. Someone was capable of that. Yeah.
Exactly. So the laceration to her neck was from ear to ear, and her trachea and windpipe had been completely cut through.
Oh my God.
So she was literally breathing through a gaping hole in her neck. She had also been completely disemboweled, and her intestines were covered in beach sand and charcoal from the ground there.
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Dmitry Angelov was the surgeon that operated on Allison that night, and he said he was amazed at the strength that Allison showed, especially that she was able to write her attacker's name in the sand with all the injuries she had sustained.
Right.
So Dr. Angelov meticulously cleaned Allison's intestines and was able to stitch up her injuries, and that saved her life.
Wow.
Thankfully, none of the stab wounds actually damaged any of her internal organs, and the doctors were able to properly reconnect all of the nerves and everything in her neck, because it's not just, like, you can't breathe. Like, there's so many nerves and systems veins and stuff that go through. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Clearly, I'm not very good at biology, but, you know, there's a lot. Things and
stuff, yeah.
So,
yeah,
they were able to do everything and reconnect everything, and they saved her life.
That's a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't... She had somebody watching out for her. The guardian angel, so God, the universe, whatever you want to believe or think. She definitely had somebody watching out for her.
I think so, too. So not only did Allison survive her injuries, but she remembered everything about her attackers.
Praise the Lord.
While still in the hospital, Allison was able to identify the two men from police photos. And this was just the morning after her attack. She was able to write down the men's names after identifying photos of them.
Wow.
But for some reason, I couldn't quite understand why, but law enforcement needed her to verbally identify the men. But at this point, she was intubated because her trachea had been cut.
Her whole head, she almost was decapitated. What? Yeah. Why did they need that? That is ridiculous.
I don't know. I couldn't quite figure out why.
Maybe that's how they do it over there. Yeah, I don't maybe. Know. A verbal record. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But Dr. Common said that, or Common, I think it is, he said that he was extremely apprehensive about removing the tube from her mouth because he didn't want to disrupt the trachea reconstruction they had done.
Yeah.
So he explained to Allison what would need to happen to be able to verbally identify them, and he gave her the option, and by writing, she told him to take it out.
She wanted to get it done, yeah.
Yeah. So he did, and when he did, Allison's first words were, "That's wonderful," and then she said, quote, "My attackers are Franz and Tians." And with that, Franz de Toy and Tians Kruger were arrested.
Praise Jesus.
So Franz allegedly actually had a wife and child, and he was also known to law enforcement because he had previously been arrested for rape.
What in the world?
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
The arresting officer actually recalled that Franz was very surprised when he learned that one of his charges was for attempted murder. Apparently he asked, why attempted murder? And the officer said, because Allison is alive. And he recalls Franz being, quote, so surprised you could knock him over with a feather.
Yeah. I bet. I would love to have seen his face when they told him that information.
Right? I know, me too. So Franz basically, after that, pretty much confessed. Not fully, but he was basically like, well, there's nothing I can hide because Allison can tell you everything.
Right.
He was apparently also found wearing a ring that still had blood on it that was later determined to be Allison's. So law enforcement, even though the men had planned to plead guilty, law enforcement still wanted to do all the proper investigation and forensic testing and everything just in case they changed their minds. So they did. They were determined to not let these men get away.
Yeah.
But both men ended up pleading guilty to 8 charges that included kidnapping, rape, and attempted murder. On August 7th, 1995, Franz de Toy was sentenced to 3 life terms without the possibility of parole, and Tians Kruger was sentenced to 1 life term plus 25 years with no parole.
Praise be. They do it right over there.
Yeah. After the attack, Allison moved back in with her mom, who helped her recover physically. She had fallen into a deep depression, understandably so.
Right.
But she remembers one day in particular that kind of a switch kind of flipped. She says she was in the depths of her depression, and she was blaming Franz and Tian for all that she was suffering with, which obviously it's their fault.
Yeah.
But she suddenly realized that she had the choice between life and death, just as she did that night in 1994. So she chose life again. And that's when she got her first invitation to speak about her story. And even though she hated public speaking, she went and did it. She said, again, it was like, that's just who she was. She couldn't, like, disappoint somebody by not going and doing it. So she went yeah. and did it. And she just kept going.
Oh.
Today, Allison is a motivational speaker sharing her survival story. She said that doing that helped give her a new cause and a new direction, and it's really helped her heal. She's traveled the world, and she's actually one of the first women in South Africa to ever speak publicly about rape.
Really?
Yeah. And she has inspired so many other survivors to come forward and tell their stories.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's, like, not only did she freaking, like, badass survive this, she's, yeah. like, doing so much amazing work.
Yeah.
So, Franz is still kind of trying to ruin Allison's life. The judge in the case, as I said, like, it said that they had no parole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they still have that potential to get parole. And they were actually up for parole in October 2015, and they didn't get it. Yeah.
How do you get sentenced to no possibility of parole and then get a parole? I can't even talk. I'm so mad.
I know. It doesn't That's make insane. Any sense. And I could not figure out why.
I take it back what I said, that they do it right.
Right? So they didn't get parole then, but I think there is still, like, a possibility they could be put up for parole in the future.
Sign petitions if you're in yeah. that area. Don't yeah, let them get out.
Let it happen. Yeah. Franz also apparently has an entire relationship with a woman in America. So this woman's mother emailed Allison asking Allison to help the woman.
Like, people are mentally ill. Let's just say yeah. that. That's all there. That's the only excuse.
This man is a convicted sex offender and attempted murderer.
Yeah, he literally almost killed someone.
Yeah, he thought he killed someone. Like, that drives me crazy when attempted murder doesn't have the same consequence as murder, because, like, you tried, you just failed, but you
exactly.
tried.
Exactly. You should still be charged. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but either way, that's a different point.
Yeah.
But Allison said that this Franz has, like, access to social media to make this relationship. And so she wrote to authorities to tell them what was going on with him. And she did ask them to not share that she was the one who told them this. But they shared that email with Franz. Like, what the actual fuck?
What is wrong with people?
Right?
And how is it so easy for these criminals in prison to get access to, like, this stuff?
It just reminds me of in Orange is the New Black when, like, they had phones.
Oh, yeah.
That they would, like, I mean, that has to be, like, the kind of thing that's happening.
Yeah, they were sneaking them in.
So when that film was being made, the one on Amazon Prime, Franz apparently requested an interview with the filmmaker. And in return for that interview, he wanted a letter of forgiveness from Allison, signed.
What?
And profit shares from her book sales and motivational speaking backdated.
You are full of shit, dude.
Yeah. And he said that he believes that what he did to Allison is, quote, the only reason for her success story.
Well, yeah, but I have no words. Obviously, she wouldn't have to be in this position if you would not have brutally raped her and tried to mutilate her body and kill her. Of course, yeah. she wouldn't be in this position. But what is that? That's a very huge sacrifice that she had yeah. to make
for her yeah.
to be, quote unquote, successful. I'm yeah. sure she would have been just fine living her life the way she was living it before your piece of shit, horrible, rotten, sadistic ass came into her life.
Exactly.
He's delusional.
Yeah. And because of that, his request was denied by the filmmaker. This is Allison's story.
Yeah, thank God. Because sometimes stuff like that happens, you know, like, these people do get a voice and they do get their little 15 seconds of fame and it's disgusting and sick and people just want to make money, you know?
Yeah.
So they allow it to happen, but thank God he didn't.
I know. And I also found it so funny that Franz was the one that was like, I request an interview, but if you want to interview me, you have to do this, this, and this. It's like, no. Like, no one wants to talk to you.
Yeah. You're fooling yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. So, no one believed that Allison could ever have children, but she did get pregnant. She actually got pregnant without any intervention and was able to carry two babies separately, not twins, but two different pregnancies to term. So that was another thing, is like, they weren't sure if once she got pregnant and started, her stomach started expanding because she was growing a baby, like what would happen.
Right.
But she had two healthy pregnancies, and she now has two sons, Daniel and Matthew, who are now 19 and 16. And she says that her sons complete her.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I know. Tion Ott... Oh, gosh, I can't say his last name still.
One who found her?
Yeah, the one who found her. He says that God placed him on that road that day. And after that experience, he actually decided to switch his career path from veterinary medicine to become a doctor.
Stop.
Wait, this is going to make you cry. He delivered Allison's second son.
No. Oh my God, I'm crying. I really am crying. I was good. I was low-key hoping you were going to say he was the father of her children, though.
I know, that would have been sweet, but no. Aww. But he did deliver her second son. I literally wrote cute teary-eyed emoji because it's just, like, so precious.
That's, like, such a treasure. He's, like...
I know.
He is a guardian angel. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely placed on that road that day.
Yeah.
And just, like, the fact that he held her hand, like...
The whole time he couldn't.
And he was, like, determined to save her. It wasn't just like, oh shit, somebody's on the road,
I need to call 911. Her organs back in her body.
Yeah he was like, no, you're not dying. And she was like, okay, I'm not dying.
Yeah
He's amazing. Allison is such an incredibly strong woman, and she has helped inspire so many. She still suffers mentally and physically from what happened to her that night in 1994, but she has truly turned her tragedy into such an inspirational story. And I'm just so glad that I came across this story, because not only is it, you know, an incredible survival story with everything that happened to her, but just the way that she has helped so many people and so many survivors.
Turned it around. Yeah.
Yeah. She is just incredible.
Because not everyone is capable of doing that, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, I can't imagine the mental anguish that would come from experiencing something like that. And she not only turned it around for herself, but is now helping others.
Yeah. I mean, just living day to day, like your normal day to day life with PTSD is very challenging, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like going in front of crowds of people and like becoming this, like, you know, well-known name, and that puts a lot of attention on you, and you never know what kind of people are out there watching, and that's it's miraculous.
But she's doing it to help others, because she knows how much she can help. So it's incredible. She's incredible. Like, I'm so glad that I came across her story, and I'm going to go listen to some of her speeches, because I saw like some clips of some of them, and she's just amazing and has such a good outlook on life. And I think that it's, you know, a good reminder for everyone to just live in the moment and appreciate what you have.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that is the story of Allison Botha. I will definitely post photos of her on our Instagram and on our Facebook's Inhuman Podcast, Instagram's Inhuman_podcast, so you guys can go check that out. But I'm so happy to share this story. I think it's so incredible, and I know some of it was absolutely horrific, but
yeah,
it was worth it to get to the end, because
it was part of her story, you know. You have to share it. Yeah,
exactly. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again to Haley D for the case suggestion. I'm really glad I stumbled across this. And do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we will see you next week with two new episodes of Inhuman. And until then, keep it human.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.